Hello, and welcome to the Movie Spotlight on the Comic Book Page podcast. My name is John Mayo. In this episode, we'll be spotlighting a movie that we think you'll find interesting. In this episode, I'm joined by my sister, and we're going to have a spoiler-filled discussion on Kingsman: The Golden Circle from 2017. Now, we just watched this. We, the other night, had just rewatched the first Kingsman movie that we did an episode on back in 2016. So, almost 8 years have elapsed, and I was reminded of it when we watched the first movie again, but I had forgotten how over-the-top gory and gross some of the stuff was.
Yes, and I think this movie managed to take that up a level.
Yeah, and it was needlessly so.
Yeah.
I think they would have had, frankly, in my opinion, a better movie if they weren't dismembering people quite as much as they were and whatnot, and weren't gratuitous on some of the stuff.
I think the pivotal deaths in the diner, shall we say, could have been less graphic, less...
It could have been less of a meat grinder.
Yeah.
Yeah, there were some aspects like that that I'll admit, I'm very squeamish. I find that very disgusting, distasteful, you know, whatever you want to say. It's just, it does not work for me.
Well, but, I mean, the scene takes place in a 50s diner, which is totally out of place, and they acknowledge it in Cambodian ruins in Cambodia.
I think they were going for the juxtaposition of the bright, happy, happy days, you know, Leave It to Beaver era, with the gore and graphic violence and whatnot.
I think there was some of that. There was some of she'd created her personal Dollywood or whatever you want to call it.
Although there was no explanation as to any kind of resources for having built that, upkeeping that, doing the robotics and stuff.
No.
It's just, wouldn't it be cool if?
I have a drug empire that brings in buku money, so here's what I did with the money magically.
I guess my point is, I'm okay with that stupidity and insanity. If there was at least some acknowledgement that there is a bunch of people behind the scenes to some level, I mean, it didn't have to be hundreds and hundreds, but somebody to keep all the bowling alley working and cleaning the place up or whatever.
Yeah.
We see maybe
a handful of people.
I was going to say a half dozen guards all said and done, and that's it.
Well, we saw the guy come out of the donut shop and a few other shops
when
at the end.
They needed more warm bodies for the fight at the end. Suddenly, there's employees.
Yes.
But there was zero sign of them before.
I'm just thinking, you know, you've got these ruins out in the jungles of Cambodia. You've got the prime opportunity for booby traps and to send people into the bottomless pit and that kind of thing, that it's the... I didn't even have to build it. They left it here for me.
Well, the other thing I would have been tempted to do if you wanted to do the booby traps is at the far end of an otherwise literally empty street is the corner store. Could you just go down to the store and get me a cup of sugar or something?
Yeah.
And it's like, oh God, no. And that's where you realize the whole thing is a minefield, a death trap, etc.
Yeah.
So there are ways they could have made that and done that. Now, granted, they would have done it over the top, bloody, gory, etc.
But not to the point of what they did in the diner.
Agreed. I guess I was also bothered if you've got these robot dogs and no sign of any roboticists or anything.
None whatsoever.
And how does the stuff get shipped in? I mean, I'm not expecting this to be logistically sound.
Well, we've got the magic lab under the ski chalet in, was it Switzerland?
Yeah.
And if anybody has ever had come back to haunt them, the what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas.
I did find that funny. What got me about this film is, as a sequel, it suffered from a little bit of sequelitis.
Yeah.
We have to have certain things that are reversals from the first film, certain things that are retreads of the first film, and some of that worked, some of it was a little, come on.
One of the things they did that I felt they waffled in there, here's what we're going to do with the movie, is it felt like they decided, we're going to do a what happens when your team is slaughtered and you lose access to your resources. And within 5 to 10 minutes, yeah, you know what? Have our resources. They're at your disposal. Have our team. They're at your disposal.
Yeah.
We're another country. You never heard of us before. We never heard of you before. But hey, turns out we're one and there's Doomsday Plan.
Well, the first movie was called Kingsman, The Secret Service. This was called Kingsman, The Golden Circle. This could have been called Statesman, The Secret Service.
Yes, it could.
Because it was essentially, we've got to learn about the Statesman organization, which is the American equivalent of Kingsman.
Mm-hmm. And I did like the name.
I like the name. I like the look of it. I think they did some interesting stuff. Tequila was a little over the top. When we got Whiskey, who was played by Pedro Pascal playing Burt Reynolds, yes. Playing Whiskey.
Yes.
The look, etc. It was a little over the top. Not in a bad way, but in an unoriginal way.
Well, but to that point, Jeff Bridges, mm-hmm. who was playing the American equivalent to Arthur, Champion. I almost had...
Champagne.
You're right. I had the Hal Holbrook feeling. From
yes.
him.
Yes. Same here.
So there were just a lot. Well, even Poppy, who was played by...
Julianne Moore.
There again, there was almost that if it were made today, it'd be Tina Fey.
Mm-hmm.
There was that sense of she's playing a certain stereotypical playing Poppy.
I guess my question, I was wondering who you thought would have played it in the 80s, and, i.e. the,
yeah.
the Burt Reynolds, the Hal Holbrook era.
And that's where I'm struggling with, would it have been Kirstie Alley or...
Quite possibly. Or Shelley Long.
Yeah.
There are a couple of different ones that it could have been. And that's not to say it made it a bad film or anything.
No, but the problem was I spent half the film looking at these characters and going... You're channeling Burt Reynolds so strongly.
I wouldn't even say that, channeling. You are appropriating.
Yes. Yes.
Because I couldn't see the character of Whiskey. All I could see was the not Burt Reynolds, Burt Reynolds.
Yes.
I mean, they were doing more of a send-up of Burt Reynolds than is often done on some of the Saturday Night Live skits.
Yeah, I would agree totally. And I say that having worked with Burt Reynolds for 2 or 3 weeks.
Yeah, it was a parody of Burt Reynolds, but not a funny parody of Burt Reynolds.
No.
Or not even a parody. Well, it's not even the right way of saying it.
At one point during the movie, you said, what if this was the canon?
Burt Reynolds is James Bond.
Well, and then you said Cannonball Run Spy.
Oh, Cannonball Spy, yeah.
There you go. And things like that, I was so caught up in those aspects.
It was distracting, yeah.
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 That I wasn't seeing the film at times.
Well, I think the Statesman organization was undercut or watered down by those aspects.
Mm-hmm.
And that annoyed me because I thought they had really an interesting approach to what an American version of Kingsman would be like.
Yes.
If you're the almost, I don't want to say the personification of your country, you've got more of a cowboy kind of organization.
Well, and the riding the stock market.
Yes. It's all about money. Yes, they're capitalists. What the hell do you expect?
Yeah.
This isn't an old money organization.
Yeah, whereas the Kingsman, it was about being a gentleman, about having the outward honor and integrity, whether or not you were raised from money.
Yeah, yeah.
I did feel, right from the start of the movie, that there were characters they thought I remembered.
The princess, or whatever.
Tildy
was one of them. And until you clued me in, I'm like, well, Eggsy got a girlfriend. I don't know how, where, or what. But then it's, oh, I get it now.
They made one comment because I kept thinking she looks familiar. I can't place her. She looks familiar. And part of it is apparently she's now spent time in the UK. So they toned down the accent.
Well, they killed the accent for the most part. And she didn't, again, they didn't reset the character. It's just we're supposed to recognize her.
Yeah.
Between the films, there was a couple of years. The other mistake I think they made at the beginning, when they're wiping the slate of the Kingsman organization, they kill off Roxy.
Yeah.
And it felt like, I don't know how she's going to survive, but she's going to survive. She's going to show up later.
Yeah.
And there was absolutely no way she could have survived. But with this kind of a film, with the over-the-top action and...
There's no way she could have survived if she was really in the bedroom where they said she was.
But you go back to, there's no way Harry could have survived the events of the first film yet he did.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you can always magic your way out of it, essentially.
Well, and that's the thing. Roxy didn't strike me as someone who would be in that bedroom in that building. It didn't make sense.
No, it didn't. She's a full member of the Statesman organization at this point.
Kingsman.
She should, or Kingsman, sorry.
Yeah.
And I liked how she was used initially. Having her help Eggsy out at that point made sense. Killing her off, I felt, was a complete waste.
Yeah. I think they felt they had so many characters from the Statesman that they didn't have room for Roxy. They needed Eggsy to need a partner. And if we kept Roxy, who did we lose over on the Statesman side? Did we lose Tequila? Did we lose, was it Ginger Ale?
Yeah, I would have had Roxy wind up helping Ginger Ale or something like that, but having been mostly out of the picture.
Mm-hmm.
And I was expecting at the end at least some acknowledgement that somehow she survived or whatever. She was too good of a character to kill off that way. I thought that was a mistake.
Yeah.
Killing off Merlin.
That was tragic.
He got a good death.
Oh, but it was tragic.
But they shouldn't have killed him off.
No, he was a wonderful character.
And I felt that was a major mistake. I think they've got a third movie, but it's a prequel.
Oh.
If they were to do another sequel, I think you could bring Merlin back, but I would do it as an AI.
That's what I was just thinking.
So you could do that.
And it would fit with the character. I mean,
absolutely.
He was the tech guy, etc.
Yeah.
Now, one of the things that got dropped, like mid-scene, it felt like, not only do we not come back to it as an issue, but it should have had consequences, and it didn't. We're having dinner with the girlfriend's parents.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And there's the comedic snafu with the spy glasses.
Yeah.
And there wasn't even a I have to go now comment. Mm-hmm. And you're right, that was something that just, that scene needed to end. We needed to get on with the plot of the movie. And even though we saw those characters later, there was zero ramifications at all. Not even an acknowledgement of it at the end.
Yeah.
That, I think, was a mistake as well.
I think that the scene they had at the end with Harry and Eggsy, they should have had the future father-in-law knock and come in and say, if you had told me about the tailor shop from the beginning, I'd have welcomed you.
I actually would have gone, I always liked how you stood up to me that night or whatever. You know, you earned my respect at that point.
Yeah, but
some acknowledgement.
But I wanted him to acknowledge my daughter realized you were not just a tailor, you were saving the world.
Mm-hmm.
And if you had shown me that quality.
Yeah, I think there's half a dozen ways they could have landed that.
But I think
a little better.
Eggsy was exactly right. How do you go on being a secret agent spy dude and now being a public figure, which he is becoming?
Yeah. Well, I didn't see any paparazzi there, but you would think. Yeah, I think that's a hurdle they would have to do if they were to do a sequel. I don't know if there are any plans to do that.
Mm.
But the other challenge is you have to completely rebuild the Kingsman organization. And the implication with that last scene where we see Tequila as a Kingsman is that there's some merger. I mean, they flat out said that Statesman is basically going to rebuild Kingsman like brothers. But are they one organization? Are they two? Are they sharing agents? Are they not?
Well, and they were going to rebuild it as a distillery, but he was going to the tailor shop.
Yeah. There's a lot of hand waving. Let's not bother with the details.
Yeah.
And I don't expect this to be logistically sound, but there are a few things that should be a little better.
And yet, on the it was good side and it disappoints me, the president's attitude towards what's going on was all too believable, all too real, and all too infuriating.
Yeah, but I don't know that I fault him for it. It was a very believable approach to the situation.
It was, but it goes with my stand of yes, crossing the Rio Grande to get into Texas without papers, yada yada, swimming the water, it's illegal, but it should not be a death penalty offense.
Just because it's wrong doesn't mean it's capital punishment. Yeah, yeah. Well, the part I found equally bothersome, you've got a president, they're in this situation where they could do something or they could do nothing, and things will play out. I would think anyone who got into the White House would have enough political savvy, either inherently or in those around them, to have had somebody planning for the, but if this goes how you don't expect or don't want, mm-hmm. here's how you come out smelling like a rose or whatever as best you can, regardless.
Well, and he never had a single advisor who walked in with a, you know, Mr. President, you might want to keep in mind X percent of your voters
yeah.
are in the group that will be affected.
This administration had a president, mm-hmm. a female of some position of power.
She either was chief of staff or she was vice president. I honestly couldn't tell.
Couldn't tell. And it didn't seem like vice president because her comment of making sure there's a smooth transition of power wouldn't make sense if she's vice president. Or frankly, if she's chief of staff.
I actually thought it would make sense if she was vice president. There will be a smooth transition of power to me.
But that's being the point. Implied. She didn't say that. So she would have also been addressed on the screen as vice president somehow.
She was chief of staff.
All right. All right.
I IMDb'd.
So a chief of staff, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
And then a
general.
General military guy of some sort.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all that we see of that administration.
Yeah.
Now, granted, it's Kingsman, which is a British organization, but we spent most of the time in the U.S.
Well, and the bad guy never negotiated or threatened any other government. It was like, United Nations, you suck, I'm addressing the President of the United States.
Yeah, that was a little over the top and odd as well. It's funny because there are a number of things where Mark Miller has written some really tight, well-written, well-done stories in comics. And one of the things that was in the miniseries that was the basis for the first movie is Valentine was pulling a lot of celebrities and stuff. If you're populating your own bunker, populate it with those you want to hang out with.
Yeah.
And that was really not in the first film at all, but was mentioned here that in the confusion of all of that,
yeah, they alluded to people going missing in the first movie, and like we'd see little bits of news footage saying so-and-so's now gone missing, but if you missed the crawler, or you missed the few lines, and then we walked down these long corridors.
You have the prison cells, and you only see the one, which is the princess.
With the doors, and at one point I was even complaining when we watched it about how it was like the wall was shifting or something.
Yeah, the scene they did walking by in the first one was really wonky.
Yeah.
But in the comic, it was very obvious that a lot of celebrities were going missing, and that was the big thing. All these sci-fi stars of yesteryear have vanished, versus it may have been incidentally mentioned.
Yeah.
But Elton John is a key character in this narrative.
Yeah, surprisingly enough.
And did a good job. I don't know how they talked him into it or why he wanted to do it or what happened for all of that.
I would say part of it would be he probably only did 3, maybe 4 days of filming tops.
Definitely the scene in the theater stuff. He had the scene in the bowling alley and then the scene in the streetway.
There were various scenes,
but those are the locales.
But I think the street was green screen.
When he was sitting outside the diner.
Yeah.
Could be either way. He didn't necessarily have to go to the set for that, but it easily could have been just a couple of days, but it was well done, and I enjoyed him in it.
And as I recall, he has kids.
That could be. It could just be, hey, this is for the family or various people it'd be fun to do or whatever. Yeah. I mean, surprised they didn't use more of his music.
So was I. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and they had a perfect moment for him to do the song Candle in the Wind. When he hears people dying, and it's a song about you will be remembered.
Well, when we had the opening car chase, I don't remember what music, if any, they used. When Eggsy is in the fake taxi, which is a Kingsman vehicle, getting chased by 3 cars, finally gets permission to return fire, launches a rocket. I mean, perfect time to be using Rocket Man.
Yeah.
From Elton John.
Yeah.
And it was funny because the thing shoots straight up, kind of pops 3 little mini missiles out to take care of the 3 vehicles. And of course, my comment to you at the time is, good thing it wasn't a 4th.
Yeah.
There were a lot of things about that opening action sequence that it's like, oh, the door is flapping open and stuff. It's going to get knocked at some point off. And sure enough, almost by the numbers.
He's going to end up in the trunk.
Ends up in the trunk. The door stays on long enough for him to use that as the sled and it wasn't a bad sequence at all. It was fun. It was good. it just wasn't great, and it didn't feel inventive.
No, well, and we never, and I mean the entire movie, not just that scene, we never got a reason why Charlie teamed up with Poppy.
Presumably she was there at the bunker.
Couldn't have been.
There's no explanation of how she would have survived if she had been. But how else did she get Elton John? And the presumption I had was she rescued Charlie.
She said she was snapping people up when Valentine was.
Oh, during the confusion.
Yes.
So she had gotten Elton John.
Yes.
Valentine had not.
Exactly.
Okay. Yeah, there are a couple of things as to Charlie's motivation and how he got hooked into all of that. Because he'd apparently been with her long enough to get the robot arm. Yeah, there again, I don't expect it to be totally logistically sound, but I expect a lot better than what we got in some places.
I expected better from the Charlie character because he was the candidate Arthur put forward. Now, albeit Arthur had already been compromised by Valentine, but to make it to the position of Arthur in this round table of knights,
yeah,
you expect some level of judgment in your candidate.
Well, and that was also a missed opportunity for the Statesman organization of the naming to be various alcoholic beverages versus American folklore heroes or something.
Yeah.
Or people of the revolution.
Mm-hmm. Washington, Bunyan.
Revere.
Yeah.
You know, whatever. So I didn't object to what they did. It made sense with this distillery and stuff. But the other scene that really stood out for me in terms of sequelitis,
mm-hmm.
was the manners maketh the man.
Yes.
In the saloon.
Yes.
And it had a couple of bits of, okay, we've gotten Harry back. He's not fully back.
Mm-hmm.
And it later played into he sees butterflies, but that never really had any payoff or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It just was used to cover an otherwise inexplicable plot point.
Well, and it seemed to be trying to tell us that whiskey is his counterpart in, yep, The Statesman.
But this is where we get the rodeo version of the fight scene, essentially.
Yeah.
And it served the same purpose as in the first film, but it felt so derivative and undercut some of that because it's like, Harry had failed, Whiskey has to step in.
Yeah.
And I get what they were trying to do. It was very obvious what they were trying to do. I just don't know that it was the smoothest execution of that. And it's been long enough since I've read the Kingsman comics to know if there's any basis from the comics for any of this stuff.
Hmm.
And how much of this movie was simply a movie sequel written,
yeah,
free from comics continuity versus the first was very much an adaptation of a comic series. And I'm imagining there's a comic series I just either haven't read in ages or haven't read that this may have been based on. I just don't know. Because again, the Statesman organization I thought was a lot of fun.
It was.
But I think that's what makes a third sequel film hard to do versus a prequel of, let's get to the origin of the Kingsman organization. If you do a third, you know, sequel after Statesman,
you're in Australia.
It's going to be, what organization do we follow at that point? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Actually, Australia would be a hilarious one because that was a penal colony.
Yeah.
So if you go with the anti-hero approach to it, of the bad guys making good, it's led by the warden, and yeah, there could be some fun stuff there. Again, I enjoyed aspects of this, but the over-the-top gore and stuff really turned me off in places. The sequelitis and retreading some clear reversals and all that stuff from the first didn't help it either.
Well, both bad guys, the first movie and this movie, their grand plot seemed to involve killing off their customers.
Yeah, killing off their customers for very different reasons, though.
Yes.
The theory wasn't, in this one, it was a bluff and they were going to save them all.
And make their business legal in the process.
Well, that's it. They wanted recognition of being the world's best business person.
Yes. Save lives, legalize.
Yeah. Well, the first one was a twist on climate change and stuff. The solution is kill everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Here, it's a twist on the war on drugs.
Yeah.
So if you did another sequel, what hot button item of that sort of thing would you do a bizarre twist on?
That I don't know.
AI, it's not as bad as you think? I don't know.
That actually would work with your Merlin idea.
Mm,
because you could quite literally have dueling AIs.
Yeah, I would think, given the mindset of these films, it would look like AI is the threat, but it's AI trying to basically make a place for itself in the world and show they're not such a bad guy or something.
Yeah.
And I don't know.
Well, and that falls in pretty well with AI, with the whole answers may be wrong, make sure to double check it. They don't always know what they're saying.
Yeah. It's funny because I think this franchise was starting down the path of what I really think Citadel should have gone down. Because Kingsman is a very British, spy-ish organization, but, you know, independent. Statesman is a very American version.
Yeah.
And it'd be fun to see a very Australian version, a Swiss version, a Chinese version, a Russian version, you know, all these, a Canadian version.
Yeah.
How would an independent, well-funded spy organization develop in those countries, in every country?
Well, and something that idealistically is quite literally serving the people, but in a way that government no longer does, because it's become an entity unto itself.
Yeah, how does it act for the true benefit of the people as seen by that organization, which is again a reflection of a dominant subset, presumably, of those people,
mm-hmm.
or a subset of the people. I don't know if it'd be dominant or not. Of course, it would be hilarious to do a Statesman sequel where you realize there is a Cotton version of Statesman, going back to the Civil War aspect.
Yeah.
And how that all plays out. So, a lot of fun they could do. And again, it was a fun film. It just didn't always work for me in places.
It's about where I was. I found quite a few things that were distracting me and throwing me back out of the movie.
Yeah, same here. I am curious about the prequel movie they're doing. Yeah. They have done.
I'm curious about that too.
Well, hopefully it's not as gory.
I really hope so.
Yeah. Anything else?
I think that does it.
Cool. Thanks for listening to this episode. If you liked this episode, please spread the word about the Comic Book Page podcast by telling your friends and posting a review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. And please join our Slack community and let us know what you thought of this episode. I do this podcast because I enjoy talking about comics. So let's talk about comics. The show notes, form, and instructions for how to join our Slack channel can be found at www.comicbookpage.com. The opinions of the co-hosts and guests are their own. The Comic Book Page podcast is copyright John Mayo. And thanks again for listening.